morning. Super excited to have everyone with us this morning. I pray that your time in your small group studies went well for everyone and everyone was blessed by that. You know, just an endorsement of this quarter Sunday school material is, man, it's super important. Talking about laying foundations, building your life upon God's Word, it's very, very important for us to do that. All this week, I've been thinking about, and I'm sure your teachers went over this morning, but the stat they gave this morning in the Sunday school lesson was that the average American spends 7 hours a day looking at a screen. And scrolling and clicking and watching YouTube and doing that. And you fill in the blank if you think that's a lot or not. I think it's a lot. And then compare that with how much time do you spend in God's Word. So you're committing to 7 hours on average. Some of you are probably a lot less. Some of you may be more. You're spending 7 hours a day. How does that compare with how many hours a day you're giving to God and His Word? I think it's a really quick way to understand where your values are at and what you care about. God's Word is important. If you want to know how to deal with the difficulties of the world and the sinfulness that you are surrounded by, and storing God's Word in your heart and your mind is the answer to that. And that's what this whole quarter is about, studying God's Word. Continue to do that. If you have your announcements there, crack those open. We've got a lot to discuss this morning. You see the font's a little bit smaller. That's because we got so many things going on. All right, so the first thing that I want to mention, and she's not out here, Simon, you tell her later, but I just wanted to mention my thanks and how blessed I was for the Fall Festival, of the effort that went into it, and you all serving and coming and fellowshipping. I want to give thanks to Mandy for organizing that and getting that ready. It was just an amazing event. I know Brad counted in excess of 100 people. I don't know what the exact number was, but it was over 100 people that were hanging out, fellowshipping. Someone commented to me that, and I appreciate you all, is, man, that was all good candy too. There was no cheap candy handed out. I saw a lot of Snickers and Reese cups, which gets my thumbs up of approval. It was just a really good time to come together. Over all those people heard the gospel. They saw that a church can come together and have fun and do events together. It was just a really blessed time, and it's what the church should be doing. Right, gathering, sharing the gospel, loving on one another. So thank you all for participating in that. You'll see out there in the Hallelujah Hallway, we have a sheet of paper with dates on it for you to commit to send cards to Adam Green while he's away right now. So a lot of that's full. Pick the days that you want. They're filling up fast. And then also along those same lines, as many of you know, that our brother Harold Malcolm, he's been in the hospital for an extended period. If you would like to get him a card, or whatever you'd like to get to him, Steve Razor would be more than happy to deliver those and play mail person. I know you're not supposed to say mailman anymore. To play mail person and deliver that mail to Harold, he would be very happy to do that. So if you have a card, or if you'd like to get Steve a card, he will get that delivered to him. And Harold would be very appreciative of that. I have no doubt about it. Today, at about 2:30 today, several of us are going to meet out at Elk Creek. We're going to have a little outing and go out there and shoot some clay pigeons. Try to be there at 6:30, right? Because we need to know who many people are there. We got to put you on teams. What did I say? 2:30. Sorry. 2:30. Something else popped in my head at the same time. Be there at 2:30. We're going to have a fellowship following at 5. You need to look at your bulletin and change what it says there. There will be no food. The reason there's not going to be any food afterwards is that, guess what? We're going to have a meal today after church, which segues into that. So I would encourage you, if you're going to shoot clay pigeons, eat a little bit extra today, because there's going to be no food tonight when we wrap up at Elk Creek. All right? So, and if you show up, don't show up expecting food, but we will have a time of fellowship, do a little Bible reading, and have some time together. So if you're not shooting, be out there around 5 o'clock. We're going to do that. To the meal, you see there, November 9th, the kids are going to be leaving to go shop for shoeboxes. Due to some inclement weather yesterday, they didn't get to set up to do the fundraiser. So that fundraiser is happening after church today. Food is going to be out there in the fellowship hall. Is it green beans? Yeah, because I've been smelling green beans all morning. I was like, I smell green beans somewhere. And then I remembered, I was like, oh, yeah, we're eating today at church. So I know there's going to be green beans. Everyone's invited. Stay after church. Have time for fellowship with us. And we're going to be raising money for a good cause for these kids to go shopping to help fill some shoeboxes. All right. Another big reminder, November 16th is the day your shoeboxes need to be returned. Need is maybe the right, maybe not the right word. They have to be returned by November 16th. You see that in the bulletin. Also, the 16th is the youth are going to go shopping, doing the same thing for the shoebox ministry. Out there in the Hallelujah Hallway, there are several collection bins, right? So you have to read what's on them. One of the big things is Cindy got word from John. He's the guy who runs GAP, the mission team, the mission area that we go to quite often. And they've said that we could bring them some viney sausages, potted meat, spaghetti sauce with meat to them. So we're going to take that when we go up there. I know some of you probably love viney sausages. Don't take it. That's not to take. That's to donate. All right. So drop those in the boxes out there. We're going to donate those. You also see a box out there for art, collecting clothing, Sunday school books. I've already saw several books out there. Different things for those ladies. November 27th. That's a Sunday evening. The Women of the Spirit are going to have an outreach event. All the ladies are invited. It's going to start at 5:30, food, fellowship, crafts, and more. More information to come. If you're interested in serving in that, talk to Cindy. She will get you informed and get you ready to do that. Guys, we are not invited to this on that Sunday night, so we are going to figure something out. I'm still working on that. But guys, if you show up to this, you're not going to be welcome. You're going to be asked to go someplace else. It's for ladies only. All right? And then you'll see there, this might scare some of you, that Christmas is coming. You'll see an invitation there from the Davids. And then you see there about the Owen County Christmas shop of what they're collecting for November and December. So lots of opportunities to serve. In our area, you see there that, you know, in our bulletin, you can see how many opportunities exist to serve. And so if you're attending Dallasburg Baptist Church and you're like, I just don't know where I can serve, man, just look in the bulletin. There are lots and lots of opportunities where to serve. We're going to watch, just to kind of keep us in the mindset, we have a video for the shoeboxes. I think we're going to watch that now. Yes. So again, just another reminder of the importance and the value of these shoeboxes. Is it a great gift for a child? Yes. I know it's very difficult for many of you to fathom that this is the first and only gift that some kids ever receive all year, is these shoeboxes. But the most important thing they receive in those shoeboxes is the gospel. And we just keep watching these videos again and again, talking about how someone came to know the Lord because of these shoeboxes. They have real value. You still see them around. If you're having pictures up, I encourage you to pick it up. If you have pictures up, I encourage you to get it packed. I encourage you to pray over it. And for sure, get it back here by the 16th of November. Last thing that I wanted to mention this morning is this Friday is the day we celebrate Veterans Day. So what I want to do now is I just wanted to ask anyone who has served in our armed forces to stand up right now so we can recognize you. Not everybody at once. Alan, I know you are, so you just stand on it. Yeah, Raphael, very good. Mason, yeah, very good. We just really appreciate your all's sacrifice. We really appreciate your dedication, and we understand that many of the freedoms that we have for today are because of the sacrifices and the hard work of these men and women, so we're very thankful for that. Raphael, as a veteran, if you'll pray for us and get us going, I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
As we prepare our hearts for worship this morning, and it says, but I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down towards your holy temple in the fear of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness, because of my enemies, make your way straight before me. Let that be the call to worship, and I invite you, let's stand this morning and worship our holy God in his holy temple.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by side, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there my faith, I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide, and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty maker died, for man the creature sinned. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. And now I am happy all the day. Thus might I hide my blushing face, while his cross appeared. Is all my heart in where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief could never repay the debt of love I owe. Dear Lord, I give at the cross where I first saw the light. And now I am happy all the day.
Amen. It's wonderful to hear y'all sing. That's why I didn't sing that last one. I was like, I want to listen to them. But it is wonderful to be able to sing about that wonderful cross that has given us so much blessing. Amen. So let us come and let us sing of that fount of every blessing.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mountain fixed upon it, mount of God's redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy good narrow like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above.
The name of the Lord will never fail. So let us sing that this morning. Let us build our life on Christ Jesus.
worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. And holy, there is no one like you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. I will build my life upon your love, and I will.
We can ask that us sing.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken. For by my side, the Savior, He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need, His power is displayed. To this I hold, my Shepherd will defend me. I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and He was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is. Oh, the chains are released. I can sing, I am free, and not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus. For He has said that He will bring me home. And day by day, I know He will renew me. Until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory to Him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to Him. When the still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me.
I'm of offering now. Thank you.
All right, our kids will head off to Children's Church. Very blessed to have men and women that are willing to serve not only God, but also your children in that way. So pray for them and their time together. I would also encourage you this. This is something that we do in our house. I think Molly has one more year before she doesn't go to Children's Church anymore. But I encourage you to ask them afterwards. What do they study? What do they talk about? Just so they know that, hey, number one, someone's going to ask them afterwards, so they should probably pay attention. And number two, it's good for you to be invested in what your kids are learning in that time when they go down there, right? So I encourage you, ask them what they talk about. What do they learn? What's the application? We gather here today. It's one of those things, it's always a tough time for me, is that when we wrap up a book of Scripture, because I'm always a little sad when we wrap one up. But the good news is we start a new one next week. So today we'll be wrapping up 1 Peter, just to kind of give you an idea of where we're going next. Next week, if we're going to go to 2 Peter. I think 1 Peter and 2 Peter work very well together. So we'll start 2 Peter next week. But today we wrap up 1 Peter. And just as a quick refresher, reminder for some of you that maybe weren't with us last week, is 2 weeks ago, Peter begins to summarize and conclude this epistle to the five churches. And he really made a decision. He's returning to basics. Instead of giving them extra things, more information to have, he says, hey, to really understand how to deal with this, we got to get back to the basics. And so 2 weeks ago, those basics were humility, submission, and faith. And he said, we got to stick to those. And then last week, he continued that same process, that same thought process, and he gave us self-control and how we're supposed to be controlled as Christians and in control of our emotions and control of what happens as best as we can around us. And he also gave us the concept of being alert. And we discussed last week how he referred to Satan as a prowling lion, ready to pounce upon you, ready to devour you. And we discussed what devouring of a Christian means, right? Once your salvation is resting in Christ, that salvation is secure, but Satan is ready to devour your testimony. And so we finish up today. Peter gives us one last characteristic of a Christian and what we're supposed to return to. And if you're asking, you know, we could probably all have different opinions about which of these is the most important. I would say this, the one we're talking about today is very important, and that's hope. And what it means for us as Christians to have hope. What are we supposed to hope in? And understand, in the context of 1 Peter, what is he giving? What is he giving these five churches? And also ultimately giving us? He's giving us a way to persevere through the sufferings. To persevere when the world is out to get us. To persevere when Satan is ready to devour us. And a way for us to understand this persecution is temporary, and that if we can cling to our submission, and we can cling to humility, and we can remain alert, and we can remain faithful, and we can remain focused on Him, all of those things help generate hope in our lives, and that's what we're hoping on, right? And the hope we're talking about, obviously, is the hope in Christ, and we'll get to that more here in a minute. But you do not need me to remind you that just as men and women living in a fallen world, that the world itself is paying for the cost of sin, the world itself is falling apart because of that sin, you are going to suffer. Just suffering for no other point is that you live in a fallen world. But then what we see here in 1 Peter is that as Christians, you're going to suffer even more because the world is going to dislike you. I go so far as to use the word hate. The world is going to hate you because of your righteousness. And we've discussed that several times. Peter returns to this discussion point multiple times in 1 Peter about how your righteousness, right? And when I say your righteousness, this is your faith in Christ, following after Christ. Understand you did not earn this, but it's the righteousness in Christ. That is going to convict other people, and they are going to dislike slash hate you because of that. We've shared that. Many of you have probably, when you read that, you're like, well, that happens in my workplace. Unfortunately, for many of you, it's what happens to you in your family. Maybe you're one of the few Christians in your family, and this upcoming season of Thanksgiving and the celebration of Christ's birth, you're going to have some awkward times as one of the few Christians that are going to be gathering there. So you understand what it means to be persecuted for your righteousness, for your faith. And Peter is writing to those five churches that are 100% struggling and working through that righteousness. And this message for them is the same message for us. How do we do this? And all of those things we're talking to today is leading to the main thing, and that's our hope in Christ. We look at this set of scripture. We're going to be, if you have your Bibles with you, turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 through 11. It's towards the end of 1 Peter. It's not the very end, but it's close to the end. God's word says this: "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for this morning, Lord. We thank you for your word. Lord, as we close 1 Peter today, Lord, I just pray that it continues to be an encouragement in our life. It continues to give us a foundation in Scripture to build upon as we understand what it means to persevere, what it means to fight through the struggles of this world, to understand that no matter what trials we're experiencing right now, they are temporary, that you love us and you care about us, and that you've given us ways to persevere in these dark times. Lord, we just pray that we continue to cling to you. We continue to understand what you desire for us in Scripture so that we can go out and be bright lights in this very dark world. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. So we come to this, verse 10. "And after you have suffered a little while," I just want to pause on that just for a second, and let's talk about that, is that notice it doesn't say, "if you suffer," or "you might suffer." What does it say? "And after you have suffered." So the teaching here is very straightforward. As a Christian, you are going to suffer. Right, we joked about it last week, and we ended on this, and I probably could have spent even more time on it than I did. When we're talking about how Satan is like a lion waiting to devour you, you were never on Satan's radar until you became a Christian, because he already had you. You were already living in the world. You were already still serving your master sin. You did not matter to Satan because he had you. But the moment you become a Christian, you are going to suffer. Now, something that we had to be very careful of here is sometimes you just suffer because of your poor choices and your sin. You suffer the consequences of that. Other times, you suffer for your righteousness. You suffer because you're doing nothing other than following after Christ, and the world is going to persecute for that. So understand, when that happens to you, you know, don't be like Chicken Little, run around like, "oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening to me. I'm a Christian. Everything is supposed to be good. I can't believe I'm suffering." Scripture is hyper clear on this point. As a Christian, you are going to suffer. So you need today, last week, whenever, this is a very consistent theme in 1 Peter, you need to, this is one of my new words that I like, pre-decide. You need to pre-decide how you're going to react when suffering happens to you. It is very clear, not just in 1 Peter and other verses of Scripture, how you're supposed to react to that. You're supposed to cling to God. He is your strong tower. You run to him, and you have to stay focused on him. Because if not, if you're just like blown left and right by every trial that happens to you, it is going to be very difficult to remain a Christian, right? If everything just crushes you and you're like, "I don't know what to do," and you just throw your hands up. That is not how Christians should react. Are there times where your grief and your heartache is going to be very difficult? Absolutely. That is going to happen. But when you're resting in the Lord, when you're trusting in the Lord, when you have faith in the Lord, and most importantly, when you have hope in the Lord, it gives you the ability to persevere and make it through those seasons in life, right? That's what we're talking about here. I think there's something else that Peter has written here, obviously, as under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's a very vague statement. "And after you have suffered a little while," how many, don't raise your hands, right? How many of you would love to know, I'd like to know just how many years do I have to suffer? And I'll just get through those years, and then I know I'm good. Right? This scripture, I think, is purposely vague. I think God knows what he's doing. I know God knows what he's doing. And he's vague in this, and it says, after you have suffered a little while. That's a very relative statement. What is a little while? Well, what I think God is trying to impress upon us is this. To God, everything's a little while. Right? Because understand this, God, one of my favorite ways to refer to God is the uncreated creator, right? God is infinite. God has always existed. He has always been here. So the 70 to 80 years, and I know some of you will probably beat that average. Me and my family, we will not beat that average. Some of you will beat that average, but that is a very short time compared to an infinite God. And so when he says little while, understand Peter is helping you to have a heavenly vision to think more of eternal matters and less of worldly matters, right? Paul addresses this in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. And now Paul, man, he had some real sufferings in his life. I mean, mobs were attempting to murder him. He was let down in baskets. He had to hide. You know, he had a lot of things. He had his thorn in the flesh. This is what Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And so one of the important things that I think Peter is helping us understand here is the reality is this. Your sufferings are just a brief moment. And if you're resting in the Lord, if you have hope in the Lord, one day you will spend what? Eternity in the presence of the Lord. And that eternity, when compared to this time of suffering here on earth, as Paul says there, it's not even worth being compared to. You can't even make the comparison. And so understand this. I'm sure some of you are dealing with persecution today. Some of you are dealing with it in your workplace right now. Understand this. It's just for a short time. It's for a brief period. You're supposed to be sharing your testimony even in the midst of this. You're supposed to be representing Christ, right? Even in the midst of these persecutions. But understand this, no matter how difficult it is right now, it is but for a brief time compared to the eternal reward you will receive in Christ. And so that's an encouragement. It helps us understand that. He goes on to say, the God of all grace. And that's important for us to understand there. It doesn't say the God of a little bit of grace or the God of some grace. The God of all grace. And so I think that bears some time here that we need to discuss what grace is. Right? What do we do with grace? How do we deal with it? What does Scripture tell us about grace? The first thing that I think it's important for us to understand is that grace, many of you were raised in the church. Many of you have known the Lord for a long period of time. Some of you may not have known him for your entire life, but you've probably had a concept or an understanding of what grace is, right? Understand this. In Scripture, when Christ arrives on the scene, when he comes to earth as the incarnate God, grace was a radical concept. It made no sense to Christians to understand grace. I'll go so far as to say this to you today. You may be able to define grace. We'll define it here in a second. You may feel like you have an understanding of it, but I believe this is a concept that as human beings, you can never fully understand the grace of God, right? Quite simply defined, the way I like to think of grace is a free gift that was undeserved, but God cared so much for you, he gave it to you anyway, right? We see Scripture, Paul wrestling with this radical concept of grace. It made no sense to the Jews of the time. It blew their mind. Romans chapter 5, verse 20, Paul says this, now the law came to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Right? The purpose of Scripture is to point out your sin and your need of a Savior. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. And so when you see the depths of your sin, you understand how valuable and important grace is to you. But then Paul understands sinful people, what is their response to a free gift? He goes on to say that in Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? So the sinful, converted, or you know, just messed up thought process is like, well, if God is glorified when he shows me grace, well, maybe I should go out and just triple down on my sin and do even more crazy things, and more grace will be applied to me, and God will be glorified anymore, or even more. And so I say that, and some of you are like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I'm thankful that you think this is the dumbest thing you've ever heard. This was a common thought at the time. People were believing this. They're like, well, I love this idea of grace. I'll just do 10 times more sin, and God will bless me 10 times more. Paul goes on to obviously correct that. Again, Paul writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he corrects that in the next verse there, Romans chapter 6, verse 2. By no means, exclamation point. How can we who died to sin still live in it? And so the point that Paul is making, once you're committed to Christ, once you understand the depths of his grace as much as your small brain can understand it, you'll not want to do it anymore. You'll not want to return to those sins. Are you still going to struggle with those sins? Absolutely. You're always going to struggle with those sins because, unfortunately, the sin nature that you have. But you'll not want to go and do something 10 times more because you understand what God did for you when he gave you his grace. For us to really, as best as we can, to understand God's grace, this unmerited gift that God shows us, I think we first must take an ugly look into who we truly are in our human nature. Psalm chapter 51, verse 5 helps us do that. Behold, I was brought forth in what? In iniquity. That's a church word for sin. And in sin did my mother conceive me. So we're born into this sin, right? This is this concept of original sin, right? John goes on to even flesh that out even more. This is 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And so we need to see this is whom we are. This is what we are. We are full of sin. We are full of iniquity, right? What we bring to God is nothing but our wretchedness. But in light of that, he sent Christ to walk the earth to be the payment on the cross for our sins. This is what God does for us, is he loves us so much. And this is when we see this grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. And so in Scripture, we see grace being referred to time and time again as a gift and what it means to us. And it's important for us, there's a couple things, there's one of these things I want to key in on here, and we see this in Ephesians there, is understand this, you have not earned anything. If anything, you've just earned a deeper punishment for your sin, right? You know, you guys have heard me say this, and I was the first to admit this has caused some, there were some awkward meetings for me in my life when I would say this in meetings, and I was like, well, maybe they're not ready for this. When I can't stand when someone says, this is not what I deserve. It's not what I deserve. And my response is, yeah, you're right. What you deserve is hell. And I'd be like, hey, Michael, can we speak to you in the hall for a second, right? You know, so I learned maybe they weren't ready for that conversation yet. But this is the truth. Now, we also have to add in, is do you have value to God? You can't even imagine how much value you have to God, all because you're made in his image. So when we talk about the depths of your sin, don't think you don't have value. You for sure have value. You have the most value to God than anything else that exists. However, the truth is, you're in need of a Savior. You're in need of God's grace to be poured out on you. And the amazing thing when we discuss grace is God doesn't just dribble it out with an eyedropper like drip, 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 drip. No, he pours it out in buckets on you. And it's an amazing thing. And it's something that, and I said this earlier, it's something that as Christians, you need to be spending more time in God's Word. You need to be learning and understanding more and more what God's grace means to you and how thankful you should be for God's grace and what your response should be to God's grace. The response should be very simple. It should be worship. It should be thankfulness. It should be overflowing in your life. This is one of the reasons that as Christians, we should not consistently be angry, sad people. All because of this one concept. There's lots of other reasons. But this one concept I can point you to this morning is grace and your understanding of that. Are you going to have valleys in your life? Absolutely, no doubt. But the overarching view of your life should be joyful because of this exact concept of what Peter is saying here is the God of all grace. That's what was so important for us to understand, right? And so we move on here. It moves on and it says, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ? You know, one of the things, and you guys will see this in my preaching, is that the more I spend in a certain book of Bible, that mega theme becomes the most important theme to me at the time. And then we go on to another book of the Bible, and the mega theme of that scripture becomes the most important thing to me at the time. And so one of the things you've probably heard me say a lot over the last couple months is that it's very important for us to understand the sovereignty of God. And what that means, how do we respond to that? How does it affect our relationship with God? And also, how does it affect our relationship with brothers and sisters in Christ? I'm just going to give you a real quick recap. You can just write these down. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. But as who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. So we're talking about the sovereignty of God calling us. He is calling us, right? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a what race? A chosen race, right? He chose you. You did not choose him. He chose you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For to this you have been what? You have been called. I'm going to read all of that. Because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. That's also a really good understanding of how you persevere, is that Christ did it first and he did it perfectly. And he's a really good example of how we should do it as well. Are you going to do it as well as Christ? No. But he's your example. Let me give you one more. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, I'm getting excited, I can't even read. On the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. And so understand this. God has a plan for you. God is sovereign. He called you. And what did he call you to? He called you to eternal glory with him forever. I said eternal. I shouldn't have to say forever, right? But he's called you to that. That's what you have been called to. You've been called to that in Christ. And so that's what we're resting in. That's what our hope is resting in. This is what is going to give you the ability to persevere in dark times, is this hope, because God is sovereign, and God did what in his sovereignty? He called you. And that should blow your mind this morning. I know it's hot in here. I see some of you getting heavy-lidded. That's okay. It's warm. It's hard this time of year to keep the air conditioned just right. I get it. But this should excite you. You hear me? I can't even read scripture. I'm stammering in my scripture. This should make you excited to know that the uncreated creator of the universe has called you, and that you are resting in that hope of what he accomplished on the cross for you and for me. That's where our hope lies. And that in his sovereignty, he decided that. It's an amazing thing for us to understand, right? The glory to what we've been called. Paul discusses this, Philippians chapter 3, verse 11 through 14, that by any means possible I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect. Anybody here think they're perfect? Do not put your hand up. But I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his what? His own. Emphasizing again, he has called you. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's what we're supposed to do. We are supposed to persevere. We're supposed to do what? We are supposed to press forward. I'm not sure this analogy is true, but it's one that I say a lot of times. I used to say it a lot of times when I was coaching. There's a reason the windshield on your car is much bigger than the rearview mirror, because you're supposed to be what? Pressing forward. Pressing forward. Always be looking to what? What is your hope? To this eternal time you get to spend with God. That's what we're hoping in. It's so important. We move on, still continuing in that same verse. Will himself, don't miss that, will himself, God did not farm this out. He did not outsource this to someone. Will himself do what? Restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. This is what the sovereign God of the universe is going to do for you as a follower to him. Restore you, confirm you, strengthen you, and establish you. What does that simply mean? Just this real simple thing is this, is that when Christ returns, or when you're called home, whichever happens first, God's going to make everything right. He's going to set everything correct. All this persecution you've struggled with, everyone who has treated you wrongly for doing nothing but following Christ, they are going to have to answer for that. They are going to be held responsible for their actions. So will you. That's why Scripture says when the Lord finds us, he should find us doing good, righteous things. So in the end, it means this. God wins. And we, as his followers, we get the benefits of that. We get to be restored. Everything's to be made right. And then verse 11, he ends with this. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. It's a real simple doxology. Just reminding us of God's dominion, of God's sovereignty, and what that means. So church, I'm telling you this right now. Whether you're in the midst of a persecution, and I know many of you are. I know one of the things we've been blessed with at this church is we've got a lot of teachers. We've got some that's already done their time in the trenches, and they're out. And we've got some that are right in the middle of the trenches right now, out there fighting the good fight. And they're dealing with this persecution right now for being Christians. They're having things forced upon them that Scripture would say otherwise, and they're being persecuted. Others of you are working in places of employment to where you're being persecuted, to where you want to say something and you're not allowed to say it because it might offend someone. Church, I'm going to give you a newsflash. The gospel is offensive. It offends me every time I read it. I'm like, oh my gosh, punched in the face again. How broken am I? How messed up am I? And so as you're dealing with this, understand this. God's sovereignty has placed you where you're at right now because he knows where you're supposed to be. And when you're there and you're ministering to those people and you're sharing the gospel and you're living a life that's honoring to God, when your boss or someone who has submission, who has authority over you, don't forget Peter, we talk about submission a lot, when someone who has authority over you tells you to do something and you respond to it in a godly way, and everyone on your crew is like, man, I can't believe you did that. It gives you the opportunity to share Christ. You're right where you want. You're right where you're supposed to be right now because of God's sovereignty. So in the midst of that persecution, fight the good fight. Hold on to that hope. I want to close with this this story. This is a true story. Sometimes illustrations aren't true. This is a true story. There's in a larger city, there was this lady. She just became a teacher. And her job was to go and visit hospitals and to help children stay caught up with their schoolwork. This was before NTI and the internet, right? And her job was to travel to different hospitals, teach kids what they're doing. There was a young man, was in an accident. She goes and visits his teacher. And the teacher's like, well, what are you all studying in class right now? Nouns and adverbs. No one fall asleep, right? Nouns and adverbs. That's what he was studying. She's like, okay, I can teach nouns and adverbs. She gets the name of the child, she gets the hospital, she gets the room number. No one had told her that the child had suffered third-degree burns from head to toe. He was in a bad spot. Like, it was touch and go. They didn't know if he was going to make it. She goes and she's a little shocked when she sees it, but she doesn't know what to do, so she sits down and she teaches him nouns and adverbs. 30-minute lesson, she leaves. She comes back the next day and there's a note from the doctor that says, "I need to see you now." Well, she's probably like a lot of us. She's like, "Oh my gosh, what did I do wrong?" The doctor grabs her and says, "What did you do yesterday?" She's like, I'm so sorry. It was just nouns and adverbs. I don't know. And he says, No, you're not in trouble. From yesterday to today, this child has made a dramatic turn. He's now responding to therapy. He seems more focused. And we think that he's going to make it. And she said, "Well, what did you do?" And she says, "All I did was teach him nouns and adverbs. I don't know what I did." So once the child recovers, he lives and he goes on. And they asked him, they said, "What happened?" And he said, "That day that teacher came and taught me nouns and adverbs, it gave me hope." He said, "Because there's no way someone would come and teach a kid nouns and adverbs to a kid that was going to die." And it gave him hope. Church, I'm telling you right now, we are going to die a bodily death, but we have hope. We have hope in Christ. Go out and live of life, glorifying to him, resisting the world, staying focused on him, to understand that one day you will stand face to face with the uncreated creator of the universe, and hopefully he will be able to say to you, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." There's a lot of hope left in this world. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray that our study, our deep dive into 1 Peter has been glorifying to you. Lord, I'm so thankful for the reminder that it's been to me about submission, about sovereignty, about what Christ accomplished on the cross on our behalf. Lord, I'm just so thankful for all the foundational truths that it has discussed. Lord, I pray that we're able to take these lessons and to go out into a world, to share the gospel, to be the examples that you call us to be. Lord, I pray this morning that if anyone is gathered with us this morning and they're like, "I have no idea the hope we're talking about," man, I would love to have that conversation with you. We have lots of deacons here that would love to have that conversation with you as well. We would just like to share with you what that hope is. For those of us that are resting in Christ, we know what that hope is, and that hope is exactly Christ and what he accomplished on the cross for us, and that if we're resting in him, we are no longer a slave to sin, but we're living in submission to the Lord and chasing after him every day. So Lord, we thank you for this reminder. We thank you for this hope. And Lord, we just pray that we grow in our understanding of what your grace means for each and every one of us. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen.
Amen. Let us stand and let us sing of that amazing grace that gives us a hope for tomorrow.
Sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I found. Toils and snares I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home.
Amen. It's a wonderful song. My guess is it's probably on the top list of many Christians. I always also love when we get to the final verse how everyone just naturally gets louder, right? Because it's exactly what we're talking about today. The hope is this. The trials of persecution that you're dealing with right now, they will be but brief memories of what happens in light of eternity in the presence of God. So that's the hope we're holding to, man. That's what we're clinging to, is that what Christ said he was going to do, what he said he did on the cross, that's our hope as we're resting in that. It's just a wonderful time. We're going to pray here. I'm going to ask whoever prays, whoever makes eye contact, Tony, that was you, whoever makes eye contact, Tony, if you'll pray for our food out there as well, so when you all get out there, you can go ahead and start eating. I encourage you, everyone stay. I don't know what it is, but I know the green beans smelled really good. I do know that. And then also I'll say this, is that if anyone is going to join us today at Elk Creek, man, meet me down here for like a 2-second conversation. Maybe 3-second, but we'll see. All right? Tony, will you close us, please? Thank you.